Well, hello, hello, guys. It's Dr. K. Durairajan. You're tuning in to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and I'm coming to you live from Los Angeles, California, and I'm so excited. Our beauty podcast is doing amazingly. We went up as high as number 2 in iTunes in fashion and beauty, so that just shows me that all of you men and women out there are interested in looking great, and you want to find a resource for education and how to do it, and I'm happy to be that resource. So I'm a facial plastic surgeon. For those of you who don't know me, I do head and neck surgery and I specialize in faces. And I'm really excited to teach you all about the science of vibrant, sexy skin at every age. And today on the podcast, I'm super excited to welcome Whitney Bell.
Hi.
Whitney, you might have heard of Whitney. She's got a cute Instagram. It's called Kid Bell. And she's a writer for Teen Vogue. As well as, tell me what else you write for.
Oh, I write for Teen Vogue and Playboy, HuffPost, Cosmo. I've kind of written all over the place, but primarily for Teen Vogue and Playboy. And I cover a variety of issues, including feminism and sex positivity, reproductive choice, mental health, and basically just helping women and young girls shed their shame in any capacity.
That's right. And we're going to talk about having no filler shame today.
Yes, no Botox shame.
No shame for wanting to look good, because I think that that is kind of a stigma. And I don't for the life of me know why.
There's so much Botox stigma and just filler stigma in general. I think because like people harken it back to, like, especially within the feminist community, people harken it back to women not being able to like choose for themselves, or women like stuck in this patriarchal mm-hmm. norm where they're trying to always look good for a man. But we've turned a corner with feminism and women's rights, where really women are starting to dress a certain way or act a certain way or look a certain way because they truly want to. And, you know, if you want to be in porn and you're making that choice as an like educated adult, or if you want to be a stripper, or if you want to be an escort or get fillers or not wear heels or not shave your legs or, you know, wax your whole body, all of those options need to be available for us.
That's so true. I think it's really true that women initially, there's stigma about wanting to look beautiful. And mm-hmm. who doesn't want to look beautiful? Human nature is that you want to look attractive, right? Mm-hmm. Then there's stigma about wanting to look good for men. Like, are you looking good for yourself? Are you dressing for other women? Are you looking good just to be a sex object for men? I mean, I feel the pain of my patients because, like, we just all want to look good and feel energized, vibrant, and refreshed. And when women come in to do their faces, they're doing it for themselves. Really, that's the difference I see these days. It's not to please men. It's not, I want pretty lips because my husband wants me to have them. It's really just looking good for themselves.
Yeah. And even if inside of you there is, like, a part of it that is, you know, to adhere to this norm or whatever, like, we were all raised in this system and in this patriarchal thing, and it's not bad to then necessarily want to conform to that either. Like, as long as
yeah.
you're following, you know, what you want to do, that should be fine, and there shouldn't be stigma around it.
I agree fully. I think that, I don't know, I grew up with fairy tale beauty, right? Cinderella. Mm-hmm. We all grew up with Disney impressions of beauty and princesses, and that is ingrained in all of our heads.
It is.
And even those feminists out there, they grew up with the same Disney crap we all did.
We all have.
Yes,
it.
And there is actually something that rings very true about feminist women's beauty in Disney movies, that it's kind of universal across cultures. You look at women's faces and you analyze their proportions, and what reflects as beautiful is almost a mathematical formula that people say is an evolutionary thing, that beauty is like predetermined by ratios of the face.
Interesting. I didn't know this.
Yeah. There have been studies done. There's a guy named Marquard who did a whole facial mask assessment of women's beauty through the ages, mm-hmm. and he mapped from the pharaohs of ancient Egypt to the Greek beauties, the Athenas of Rome, and all through the Middle Ages, the Renaissance, and modern women, you know, including like Marilyn Monroe and including like Cindy Crawford, and he found the same aesthetic facial proportions.
Interesting.
So no matter when you grew up, whether you were an Egyptian Cleopatra or you're Cindy Crawford, those kind of proportions, they really resonate somewhere in the human psyche.
Interesting.
Yeah. So almost an evolutionary level, evolutionarily.
I mean, that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Actually, now that you think about it.
So how is it surrounded by feminists? Is it hard to want to look good? Like, you're allowed to wear mascara and lipstick?
Yeah. I mean, well, do you not consider yourself a feminist, Dr. Kim?
I am a feminist.
Okay.
And I wear lipstick every day.
So exactly. I mean, there's so many different ways to be anything. And in the feminist community, it's not, women absolutely dress up and shave their legs and wear lipstick and wear heels, and some don't. And it, none of those things make you a feminist or don't make you a feminist.
That's true, but there's a lot of Instagram stigma, like you beautiful green juice drinking yoga girls out there that come see me on the sly. I'm always going to keep your secrets, but...
That's true.
is it necessary to be secretive about, yes, you could do yoga, drink green juice, be really fit and vegan and plant-based and still get filler, which is all natural, right? Which is a pure hyaluronic acid. Today we're going to talk about your cheeks. So what was it that brought you in?
Initially I came in because I wanted under eye, but after talking to you about all the, you know, different things that we could do, I think that the cheek like lift or cheek filler will actually end up giving me like a better cheekbone line and sort of just pull up this heaviness I have in my lower cheeks.
I think so.
With, like,
and
a
you're
baby
so
face.
Young and pretty. You guys have to check her out. She's absolutely gorgeous. I think that all of us just want to look great. We want to look like our Snapchat filter version of ourselves.
Totally. I just want to be that, like, little crown glitter babe.
The girl with, like, the big eyes and the big cheeks and everything else tapers at the jawline, right? So, well, the cheek filler is a great technique. In my technique, you don't have to worry that you're going to look like your round or chubby cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
No chipmunk cheeks here. So we're going to do a filler that gives you a lean, sculpted, and angled look.
Great.
Because I think... I see cheekbones in every human has great cheekbones. I just have to draw them out. I have to coax them out. So that's my plan for you today. And I'm going to use a really great filler. I use every filler out there. That's one of the things I tell my patients. Like, you need to see someone who's a facial artist, someone who uses every filler in their palette, not like, well, you know, someone who's just fixed on one brand because they get the cheapest pricing. This particular filler is called Radius, and it builds collagen. It's a great collagen stimulator, and it's going to last for 12 to 18 months. So that's awesome.
That is great.
That is great. So you're going to feel a little quick pinch, and we're going to be injecting while we're podcasting, so you guys can have the inside scoop on how that is.
I thought it would hurt more. That didn't really hurt.
Not too bad. We've used a numbing cream. When you get filler or any injectable done, it's kind of weird that you can hear it. Did you hear, like, a little funny, what does it sound like?
It was like a little, whoosh, or like a, I don't know, that was so weird.
Funny little crackles is what I usually hear. So, and then it has Novocaine in it, so everywhere we go, you're going to feel more and more and more numb. How's that so far?
Good.
Little weird feeling.
Little weird feeling.
If people feel lightheaded, just let us know.
I'm okay.
You're
so
good.
Far.
Okay, yes. Good. Awesome. So how'd you get into writing?
After Ohio made a 6-week like abortion ban, after 6-week abortion ban, I went on Instagram and wrote a really long sort of just caption comment post about my own abortion, which I had shortly after my father passed away. And it ended up going really viral, and Elle hit me up and asked me to turn it into a full piece, which I did, which ended up going even more viral. And then from there, I just got requests to write for Playboy, to write for Teen Vogue, to write for all these other places. And I've just kind of been trying to use my voice and my platform to do a little good and to show other women and femmes that, like, they aren't alone, and, you know, that they shouldn't have shame about any personal choice that they feel like they have to make.
How was abortion such a tricky subject, and it's so brave of you to talk about that with such candidness, but what was it about your abortion that was so difficult?
It wasn't difficult, and that's the thing, and that's what I talked about, was that it wasn't difficult at all. It was absolutely the only choice I could make. Mm-hmm. I found out I was pregnant 2 weeks after my father had, like, suddenly passed away, and I was in no emotional or financial place to have a child. I was also single, and so I made the only choice that was right for me, and I never felt any shame about it. Actually, the only shame I did feel was I started to feel guilty for not feeling shame. I felt like if I didn't feel remorse, if I didn't, you know, feel like it was this massive life-changing thing, then that made me a bad person. And so that's sort of what the entire article was about
statistically how many women have abortions, and statistically how 1/3 of those women have already had children, because they know what it is to have a child and they know they're not in any position to have another. Mm-hmm. And that we feel all this shame for not feeling shame. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to show that, you know, there are, not every abortion is this massive life-changing thing. Sometimes it's your only option.
Very true. And then you went public with your IUD, too.
Oh, yeah. I live-streamed my IUD insertion, too.
You did that live on Snapchat or Instagram?
Instagram stories.
Well, here you are getting your filler live, too.
I know. Apparently, this is just, like, a thing for me now.
Well, maybe we can go Instagram live. Emily, you want to put us on Instagram live? And then let's see if any of our followers have questions for you.
Great.
Tell me what sex positivity is.
So sex positivity is, again, a shedding of shame around...
A little quick pinch back here. We're going near the mandible here. We're doing a little jawline filler, too. FYI, people who are listening in. But you can catch some glimpses if on our page, our resource page for the podcast. We're going to put some nice pictures up.
Great. So sex positivity, especially in relation to feminism, is basically just saying that, you know, there are many different schools of feminism, although they're starting to close now with the amount of information we have. But this fourth wave of feminism is really about embracing your sexuality, or at least giving women the options to sexuality and pornography and sex work and all those things used to be really looked down upon in the feminist community. And mm-hmm. now we're finally reaching a place where women are really do have a ton of options available to them, and we can be sexual beings and we can be sluts and we can, you know, embrace that fully. Mm-hmm. And we can also not,
Sorry, little
pinch. No, it's okay. It's just a little pinch. But we can also not, and sort of this new wave of feminism is really just about allowing women all the options that they have. And so I talk about sex.
Even the economics of sex. Like, if someone can make money as a stripper, go, girl.
Go for it.
Put yourself through school. Why not?
You know, if that's the choice that you want to be making, we have to allow for all of those options.
Okay, look at your beautiful cheekbone.
Oh, wow.
Do you see how that just pops?
Yeah, it
does. It's so pretty.
It pulls this up, too.
Well, I also put some jawline filler right back here. So I'm doing angle of the jaw filler, mm-hmm. creating a beautiful angled chiseled jawline and also a gorgeous cheek.
Wow, you really can tell.
Doesn't it look slimmer and sculpted?
It does, and this looks like more hollow here.
I gave you that little angle hollow, so mm-hmm. all your photographs will look amazing.
Oh, that looks so good.
You like it?
Yes, thank you.
Awesome. Worth the little pinches, right?
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
What other things are you pretty well known for?
I threw a traveling dick pic gallery show that went has been covered by everyone from like the BBC to Playboy to Vice to Inc. magazine, kind of all over the board.
Oh, it was, are they pictures you took?
No, so it was 200 unsolicited dick pics that have been sent to me and to a myriad of other women that I collected them from.
How funny.
And I set them up in a full recreation of a woman's home, bedroom, bathroom, living room, kitchen, everything, along with the, like, oftentimes really aggressive and threatening messages that come with digital harassment.
Oh, my God.
To sort of show the scope and severity of the issue and how many women are really affected by it and how invasive it can be.
It's very invasive.
It's very horrible. And not just like the dick pics, but the harassment that women face every day in any capacity. And that show sort of turned in from a one-night gallery show into like a traveling three-day feminist festival. And we've been to 6 different cities and have a full day of sex ed workshops and panels and discussions.
Hmm.
And it's... I've been very lucky that it has been so well received, and also horrified at how pervasive that problem is.
Very true. What's your best advice for like a 20-year-old woman out there who's kind of young, kind of insecure, living in this digital age where she's got to date people digitally and...
Oh, God. Godspeed.
God bless.
I have you? Do you have a good vibrator? Like, that's my first.
Love yourself first, you mean?
What am I doing with this?
Yeah, you can run your ice roller right so up your good. Cheek. Yeah, your cheek looks so amazing and pretty.
Yeah, my best advice is be really comfortable with yourself and, like, with being alone with yourself, because then you won't date people just to have company. And I feel like that's when I've dated the worst people.
When you're lonely, you're just going for whoever's available.
Exactly.
Are we on live?
Okay.
Hi, hello. Everybody. You're here with Dr. K and my beautiful guest, Whitney Bell.
Hello.
And we are talking on our podcast today about cheeks and filler and sex positivity. She's an amazing feminist and activist. You guys have to check her out at Kid Bell.
Yes.
Yes. And today we did a little radius for cheeks, and I'm doing jawline sculpting. So, okay, this back to your advice for a 20-year-old.
Oh, yeah, just learn to really to love yourself and to spend time with yourself, because otherwise you're going to end up dating really terrible people just so you have someone around. And get a good vibrator. That's really my best advice. The Sona Cruise is really excellent. This is not an ad.
This is not an ad. That is funny. And then you also work with Planned Parenthood a little bit, right?
Yeah, I do. So I've been on a couple panels with Cecile Richards, who was the president of Planned Parenthood and just left to be the president of Planned Parenthood PACT. So she's still very much involved. And I've thrown several benefits for them. And I also live streamed my IUD insertion to raise awareness for the multitude of things that Planned Parenthood does aside from abortion services.
Well, what was more painful, IUD insertion or cheek filler?
Oh my God, the IUD. It's like the worst pain in the entire world. It's like getting a hole punch in your uterus.
Oh my God, how horrible.
It's terrible. One time.
How brave of you to live stream that.
That it was rough. It was rough, but I'm really glad that I did, because a lot of people, I got a lot of feedback from a lot of women who were saying, you know, that they'd been too scared to do the procedure, and especially from a lot of men who, like, said that they learned a lot from my live stream about all the different things that Planned Parenthood offers that they didn't even know about.
Men said that, wow.
Because a lot of people only think about it as, like, it's billed and demonized and marketed as, like, an abortion factory, when only 3% of their services are abortion-related.
Interesting.
And they do so much for women's health care, and especially for women in lower-income brackets. When Planned Parenthood isn't available, they end up losing not just a health care provider, but basically a place where they can receive rape counseling or...
Mm-hmm.
STD tests, cancer screenings, the list is kind of endless.
So important. So you girls out there that you think you're lost and you have no help and no hope, you do. You can definitely go to Planned Parenthood.
You do. Unless, you know, you live in Texas and all the Planned Parenthoods have been shut down.
Yeah.
Which was really the whole point of live streaming that, was to talk about that issue. About Texas, about just the demonization of Planned Parenthood in general.
Well, let's talk about filler shame.
Yes.
So we're doing this podcast today so that women out there will have more understanding of the fact that filler is a totally natural thing that you need to do. I mean, okay, let's be honest. You don't have to do any filler at all, but Mother Nature is going to age you, whether you like it or not, whether you're a green juice-drinking yoga natural person or you're a person who does a lot of maintenance. You're going to lose volume in your fat pads of your cheeks. The fat pads start to descend, deflate, and that causes sagging and drooping. And the only way to prevent that really is a touch of filler. When you're using filler, you're not inserting some weird substance. This is hyaluronic acid derived, which your own skin makes. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, when you're a baby, you have a ton of hyaluronic acid. Your skin is juicy and plump, and by age 50, you've lost 50% of the hyaluronic acid. Yes, so that's how skin changes. So when I add filler, I'm really replacing the deflation of the fat pads, and I'm giving lift and contouring. So we can see, like, really pretty cheeks at the moment. You can check them out. Go ahead and look in the mirror. I'm using a technique that gives a contour and a sculpt, and many patients really worry.
It really looks so good.
Doesn't it look so good?
Yeah.
So lots of patients worry about, like, you know, is this going to make me look chubbier? I already have big cheeks. So the correct answer is
no.
No,
it's like doing the opposite for my big cheeks. It, like, gave a, there's like a
cheekbone line I didn't have before.
It's awesome. It's like a natural kind of a, almost like a contouring.
Wow.
But it's got to be done with great technique. It's very easy to end up with chipmunk chubby cheeks, and I see lots of people getting that, unfortunately, and it's all technique dependent. So I think you really need to do your homework and see someone who understands facial anatomy, because it is definitely possible to get overfilled and to get round cheeks. So now I'm going to do a little jawline sculpting. And lots of people will ask me, well, what should I do? I have a really heavy lower jaw. Should I do Kybella to melt the fat? Or should I do sculpting of the angle to get some pretty angles? So, I mean, the answer is really you can do either. But I always will recommend to get pretty first, because it's human nature. You want to look good. If I can do something to bring some beauty to your face and you're a first-time client, let's do that first. Come back later and we'll do some remodeling and reconstruction of the lower face. So I think upper face is my priority first, then lower face. Because obviously when people see you, they look at your eyes. 70% of your beauty comes from your cheeks. And the human brain, like we talked about in evolution, beauty is programmed. When you look at someone and you read their cheeks in this lifted, pretty feminine position, you read young, fertile, feminine, and that's, you know, genetics and evolution has taught your brain to do that. When you see someone whose cheeks are down here, low, saggy, and jowly, the brain has a little computer that just automatically calculates older, 40s, or 50s, and, you know, losing fertility, not as feminine, not as young. Right?
Yeah.
That's what happens.
It's so. Sort of like, you know, if you're going to shave your legs or you're going to get your nails painted or you're going to dye your hair, this really isn't any
that
different.
Yeah.
It's just another form of maintenance and beauty.
It's very true. I think women are super critical of other women getting filler done, and it really is self-expression. It's no different from tattooing, piercings, right?
Yeah.
Getting, like you said, getting your hair dyed. It's temporary, it's very safe, and it's a form of body art and body expression, if you ask me. Yeah. So, how does that feel so far?
Good.
Take a quick look in the mirror and you can see that angle. That looks so pretty.
Oh,
there
sorry.
Goes, that's okay. There goes our ice roller. We'll get that for you. Yeah. That looks awesome. So right in here is where in the future I'll do some Kybella.
Yeah.
So we'll melt, if you can pinch an inch on your chin, we can dissolve that with Kybella. Usually three vials takes away 1 inch. And I like that because we do most of the vial right in the middle and then a half a vial on each side.
Okay.
And you get the pretty side contour. But since you have some photos coming up and you want to look good, I think it's nice to get some pretty angles right now and then come back and do that later.
Yeah.
So how would you say your pain level is?
Like a 2. It's very low.
Not too bad, right?
No, it's
looks
not bad
so pretty.
At all.
Looks gorgeous.
Your cheekbones.
How was
so
it
good.
To write for Playboy? What did you write about?
I've written about a few things. I've written about period sex.
All the taboo stuff.
All the taboo stuff, yeah. I'm working on a piece about abortion and just basically what men need to know. Pretty much all of the articles are geared towards their main demographic, which is, you know, millennial men.
Uh-huh.
And
do they still read? Do millennial men still read?
It turns out some of them do.
Do they still have a print Playboy or is that
they
online?
No, they still have print. They still have print, which is cool. I was actually featured in last January's print, which was really awesome.
That is awesome.
I think the first piece I wrote was what your dick pic says about you. It was like in the midst of my dick pic show situation. And and it was basically just what it was actually about was consent. And it was a whole article that was like very jokey and funny, but was like tackling the very real issue of consent and where men get confused oftentimes.
Yeah, and why do they text you weird pictures?
Yes, pretty much. No one wants to see that.
So this fabulous girl did a whole art show on those pictures, texted to 200 women anonymously, right?
Yes. Yeah, and unsolicited dick pics, and how no one wants that. And, I mean, I like sex. If I'm dating someone and we're, like, sexually active, like, yes, let's do that all day long. But if I don't know you and you're saying, like, hey, what's up, hello on Tinder with a picture of your balls, like, you deserve what's coming.
Do guys really do that these days? I feel so sorry for you.
They really do. It's really rough out there.
20-year-olds out there. 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, I'm sorry.
I haven't had sex in like 6 months because I just can't deal with dating. It's too much.
Yeah, I mean, really. That's hard. But did Playboy go no nudity now?
They did, and then they went back because
that does not work
for them.
It's not their branding.
It's not their business
model.
Were they
confused about their branding?
Yeah, clearly. But they did, like, really sort of change the...
Let's do a little more here.
They got a bunch of female editors and writers, myself included, and they really sort of changed the way they talk about things, the way they talk about women, and even... The photography is, like, done much more through a woman's gaze now than just through a man's gaze.
Oh, interesting.
Which has really sort of revolutionized the magazine a bit.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. I guess they have to grow and evolve, right?
Totally. I mean, in a ton of journalism, almost all journalism is doing that right now. Teen Vogue pivoted from being, you know, just about lip gloss and whatever to now being, like, one of the best activist and political outlets that exists.
Right.
And you know, with the downsizing of print editorial, all these magazines are just sort of trying to have to figure out how to live and survive in this new market.
It's strange. I don't think that newspaper's going to be around in another 5 years, right?
It's like barely
now. Yeah, even regular. I wonder about like fashion magazines. Do you think those are going to be around much longer?
I mean, Teen Vogue just stopped doing their print.
Really?
I know Glamour is thinking about the same.
Wow. But I don't even like looking at fashion magazines online, do you? Like, I frankly like to go on an airplane and sit by the pool with an actual magazine.
I know, but I feel like, exactly, you want to do that on vacation, on the plane, whatever, but you're not doing that in your daily, everyday buying magazines life. And
That's
just can't
true.
Be supported with, like, just when people are traveling or whatever.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think it's better, you know, I like the tactile feel of it and whatever, but people...
Gotta evolve. I guess you gotta evolve.
My lips are so numb.
There you have it. That's our cheek and jawline filler. Does anyone have any questions? Questions for our sex positivity coach here?
This looks so good.
Looks awesome. Yay. So we have just finished doing gorgeous cheeks and gorgeous jawline. Do you love it?
I love it. I'm like, can't stop looking at my cheekbones that now exist and didn't before.
Yeah, so you went from having like more of a rounder face to very angled, sculpted, and contoured. It looks amazing.
I honestly can't believe the difference, like how quick that was.
Yeah, and this is an instant result. This will last 12 to 18 months, and you probably will touch it up right around a year. When the swelling goes down, so the first 3 or 4 days you're going to feel like you have big apple cheeks and the swelling comes down a bit, and then it really looks amazing.
It looks so good.
Up around 9 to 12 months.
Thank you.
Okay, and some people feel like they want to do more filler when the swelling goes down, and then you can always do that. But I usually recommend one syringe in each area that you want to kind of lift and sculpt. So that would be one in each cheek, one in each jawline. That gives you the most distinctive and beautiful results. So great. When we see you back, we might do something else.
Great.
I'm going to currently stab you in the lip as we do a little Botox lip flip. Cute Whitney, or Kid as her dad calls her. Cute Kid's got a real thin upper lip, and it tends to curl in when she's talking, so the muscles need to be relaxed. And I'm doing what we call the lip flip with Botox, and that's a quick little series of pinches right around the lip to soften those tight orbicularis muscles that curl in. And this works amazing. It starts working in a week. Later on, we'll get you brave and you'll try Botox in your brow. That was pinchy, so go ahead and put a little ice on. Okay, good. And then you can put the plastic directly on there. So, excellent. So then I was going to ask you, so writing for Playboy as a feminist, do you feel like that's conflicting? It's supporting your goals?
I feel like if what I want to do is create actual, real, meaningful change, then I have to reach across party lines and talk to the people who don't agree with me, and that might be Playboy readership.
Yeah.
And educate them, because if I just keep screaming into the echo chamber of women and feminists who already agree with me, that's really not going to do any good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can meet them at you know, where they're at and discuss things like sex and consent and periods with the Playboy readership, I think that's, like, pretty...
That's pretty
amazing.
Phenomenal. Yeah, definitely. It definitely is. So, I mean, I admire your stance to, like, come out in support of all these controversial issues. It's really great. You're like a pioneer.
Oh, God. I don't know about that, but I don't know. It's how I feel, and I'm pretty bad at keeping my mouth shut about things I care about.
Have you thought about writing about beauty at all, like perception of beauty? I would love to do a project with you and kind of, like, yeah, to evaluate, like, women's and men's perspective of what is beauty.
Yeah.
I mean, I think of it every day, because every day I create beauty, right? And then sometimes it's very conventional beauty. It's, like, what people are used to seeing as beauty, and is that real beauty? So, but, I mean, I think it is, because that's kind of what the human face requires. But it'd be cool to do a project
with
you.
It would be cool. No, I'm very open to that.
Yeah, I love that idea.
Those ones hurt.
Those are pinchy, the lip. Yeah, the lip flip with Botox is a little pinchy. The upper lip is super sensitive, as you know. It's one of those erogenous zones that has thousands of receptors of both pain and pleasure. So there you have it. That's our little mini podcast for the day with Whitney. And you guys can find Whitney. Tell us where everyone can follow you and find you.
Kid Bell on Instagram, KIDD.BELL. And you can check out my store at kidbell.com.
Excellent. And then what do you sell?
Oh, I didn't even say this. I partner artists and influencers with nonprofits, and we sort of make, like, unapologetically empowering merch that also benefits the community. So stuff that will vary from, like, Anxiety Queen merch for the National Mental Health Organization, or we have, like, a lot of Black Lives Matter stuff, and we have, I mean, it's a whole myriad of stuff. Go check it out.
I sure will. Thank you so much. And thanks for tuning in, guys. You've been listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon.
You can find me on Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K. Our website is www.beautybydrk.com. And I'm definitely here to be a resource for all of you guys. I want to teach you about the science of vibrant, sexy skin at every age. Thanks for tuning in.